Hello, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is the teacher, and I am Murtiza. Well, in the program, The Teacher, we try to answer some of the major misconceptions about Islamic teachings. Please stay with us. You know, nonverbal gestures and greetings, vary across countries, cultures, and religions. Bowing, kissing, saluting, touching fingers, tapping shoulders, clasping hands together, shaking fists, and pounding the chest, all are gestures used to greet people, both formally and informally, in various countries around the world. You know, what is seen as acceptable in one culture is not necessarily acceptable in another. For example, the thumbs up gesture is actually a sign of approval in America. But everybody knows that it is a sign of obscenity in the country of Iran. And another example is the okay gesture is seen as a positive gesture in Australia, but actually it is a sign of vulgarity in Brazil. You know, the refusal of Muslim men and women to shake hands with the members of the opposite gender and sex is very much in contentious. And it is actually, it's more or less like not acceptable for all Muslim men and women, and because it very much contradicts the social norms that are prevalent within, Western societies today. And in some cases, this refusal to shake hands is taken as a personal insult, embarrassing, both for parties. Firstly, Muslims do not distinguish in this matter between shaking the hands of other Muslims and shaking the hands of non-Muslims. It is therefore critical to understand that a Muslim man or woman refusing to shake a person's hand has nothing to do with the fact that they are not Muslims. Muslim men and women are more likely to refuse to shake hand of one another. So here we can simply draw a line between ideas that, Muslim people usually not shake hands with others because they are Muslims and the other party is not Muslim. This is, an absurd idea. Muslims do not, tackle this situation with their understanding of it. So it's not true. And, shaking hands, an integral part of Muslims' etiquette, which strengthen ties of brotherhood, sisterhood, and friendship. Even Prophet Muhammad said, when two Muslims meet and shake hands with each other, both of them will have their sins forgiven before they depart. So shaking hand is also the Islamic norm in greeting non-Muslims of the same, gender. So it's very much important. So those non-Muslims have their answer now and their response in this respect. But, the refusal of shaking hands relates to any physical contact with a person of the opposite gender or sex. This is a strict prohibition in Islam with the exceptions of some people. For example, the person's spouse, they can shake hands. The person's ancestors and the person's descendants. The person's siblings, brother and sister, the children of the person's siblings and descendants, and the siblings of the person's father and mother, the ancestors of the spouse, the descendants of the spouse, ties of the, breastfeeding, and etc. So these people are allowed in the religion of Islam to shake hands and have physical contacts in order to greet each other and exchange, friendly welcomes. So it is acceptable, but we have to be careful that, other contacts, are not permitted for those who are not, in close relationship. So this practice of refraining from physical contact is not restricted to Islam. We have, for example, Jewish faith as well as, you know, Hinduism and Buddhism. And previously, it was actually in Western society that they were actually refusing to shake hand with the opposite sex. So if people bringing this against the religion of Islam, that it is limiting, you know, genders, I mean, men and women, limiting their freedom, this is absolutely an absurd idea, because they had such a practice in their own religions and in their own countries in the past. So why is it so, and why is it against the religion of Islam as a violating rule? But this is not true, and everybody is aware of that. And of course, the religion of Islam teaches that physical touching of the opposite gender in whatever form is prohibited as a sign of modesty, humility, and chastity. In addition, it is a form of respect towards other person by acknowledging that no one has the right to touch them except for their nearest and dearest. So here we understand the distinguishing point between those people that are near to us and those people who are dearest to us, and with those strangers that we have no contact and we have no relationship. Men and women interaction, in the words of Dr. Yasser Ghazi.
There's no doubt this is one of the most difficult issues to navigate in the modern workforce. And those of you who are not yet in the workforce, don't presume that you know how you will act when you get to that arena. It's very easy to be hardcore in uni. It's very easy. But when you get to corporate world, when you get to the job situation, when you understand the dynamics, then things change a little bit. And the fact of the matter is that we are surrounded by areas that are difficult for us, such as this one. And this has resulted in, as I said, a counter-reaction to the dominant narrative, where, in my humble opinion, many of us counter-react within our Islamic settings even more strict than what Allah and His Messenger have intended for us, as a counter-reaction to the predominant narrative. It's as if any type of interaction with the opposite gender becomes totally haram, totally problematic. Even though we don't have a problem acting with the opposite gender in our classrooms, in our settings, in our... I mean, look at your underground tube. How close are you to the other gender, right? Astaghfirullah, but sometimes I took your tube the other day. My God, I don't know how you guys do rush hour here. It's crazy. You know, you literally pack like sardines, and you don't choose the gender you're standing next to, isn't it, right? And yet, if, I'm just saying, if, you know, a brother and a sister were to sit, and I'm not saying it's halal, it's not technically, but if they were to sit over here together and they're not related, then that would be problematic. Now, the point is, how then do we reach a healthy compromise? This is an ongoing conversation. I don't have solutions. But what I do know is we do see extremes. On the one hand, in many of our ISOCs and masajid and whatnot, the segregation becomes so strict that our Sahaba and early generations never even conceived of such strict segregation. It becomes even stricter than the Prophet ﷺ and the companions themselves, right? And this is demonstrated in a million and one ways. I mean, to have a physical barrier every time and whatnot and whatnot. I am against this, because that barrier is an imaginary one. It's only in your ISOC room. Soon as you walk out, it doesn't exist. So why create a false bubble? And frankly, let me again be very blunt here. One of our biggest problems when it comes to these intergender relationships amongst brothers and sisters is that because we are segregated so viciously within the circle of Islam, we don't learn how to actively and respectfully dialogue with the opposite gender. Whereas we do learn how to react with the opposite gender with non-Muslims. You all know, brothers and sisters, when a person of the opposite gender comes and says, hello, how are you doing? Good afternoon, good morning. You all know what to say, how to say it, be proper and respectful without being flirtatious. Isn't that correct? Right? Yet, in the ISOCs and Islamic conventions and whatnot, if a hijabi says to a bearded guy, assalamu alaikum, immediately, she proposing, is it marriage, is it this, is it that, you know? And this is a problem. Wallahi, it is a problem. It really, you cannot interact with the other, in this case, without sexualization. Why? Because we're the ones who have created. Now, do you really think the sahab and sahabiyat were like that? Wallahi, if you read the seerah, it's very clear. They are saying salam to one another in a respectful manner. You know, they know their boundaries. But we're not teaching our youngsters this. And this is, in my opinion, one of the biggest legacies that's problematic of ultra-conservative Islam. That we become more strict than the Sharia wants. And when you become more strict than the Sharia wants, there will be consequences. We don't know how to treat, our brothers do not know how to treat our sisters with respect that they deserve. They completely ignore them. As if they don't exist. They're walking down together. If it's a non-Muslim colleague of yours, lady that you have, you know, taken class with, oh, good afternoon, good morning. If it's the cashier, if it's the bus driver, you will say hello. Wallahi, doesn't your Muslim sister deserve more respect from you and say salamu alaikum? She knows you're there for her without any flirtation. She knows, look, here's a brother in need. If anything happens, if any bad person comes, I know there's a brother in the vicinity. But no, we have been taught to completely ignore as if she doesn't exist. And it's a two-way street as well.
IRIB English Radio. Our website, www.parstoday.com.
Welcome back to the program. You're listening to IRIB English Radio, the program, the teacher. You know, let me tell you that this nonverbal communication, using touch is an extremely powerful form of expression. Many experts state that, momentary touches such as a handshake or a tap on the back, can communicate and generate a wide range of, emotions. Touching unfortunately, breaks through physical boundaries and disturbs personal space. And this touching produces high level of arousal that, create powerful associations and evaluations of the toucher. Therefore, specific types of touch in one area of the body, namely the hand, can be, interpreted in several ways. So because the people might have different interpretation of such a, touching, the religion of Islam banned it and has put a strong limitation towards it. And Islam has a clear standpoint on intermingling with the opposite gender and other things that lead to a breakdown of, inhibitions between, two people. So we can tell you that any form of intimate relationship or anything that could lead to the development of such a, relationship should be under virtuous conditions. And it should also be made clear that when there is a need for touch to a care, this is permitted. If, for example, someone standing next to me faints, so Islam recommend me actually to go and help him. So in this position, I'm allowed to do the touching. So I would like to tell you that every Muslim is responsible, for his own action, because this is the world of action, and we will be questioned about our activities and actions that we do in this world, and we will be questioned here and also in the life in hereafter. All in all, simple differences in social and religious customs should not be a cause of enmity, towards others, and Muslims do not seek actually to offend anyone, you know, by not shaking hands or refraining from other forms of physical touching. So we have to understand the limitations. We have to understand the cultures. We have to understand the religious boundaries, rules and regulations. And in this respect, we will be actually treating other humans as equal as we are. And apart from considering the religious point of view, we have to respect the religion itself. And if these religious rules are applied, we shouldn't be actually taking it as a personal insult, or we shouldn't actually treat that person following his religion like, you know, that person is not very much civilized and he doesn't understand how to behave. No, what he does is simply is the command of his religion, and we have to respect that.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed today's episode of The Teacher. Don't forget to log on to our website at parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
You can talk it down, turn the other way. Fear the truth, but it won't go away. Can you hear it calling? Yeah. You can write it down, but nobody cares. It's an untold story of our biggest fears. It can reach you with no warning, yeah, yeah. When the sun goes down and there's nothing left around, can you feel it? Can you feel it? When your knees are on the ground, you may fear, but it's allowed. Are you listening? 'Cause I need forgiving.